Well, now here's an interesting thing. I'm standing in the centre of this Copenhagen summit on climate change, and although it hasn't actually started yet, I'm just about to interview the man in charge, the guy who's going to have to try and make this thing work and try and deliver some outcomes, Ivo de Boer, the UN Climate Change Executive Director. He'll be chairing the session, and it's up to him, in a sense, to judge what is success and failure. So the next voice you hear should be his. I'm going to pause this and see what happens.
Secondly, we need absolute clarity on what major developing countries like China and India are going to do to limit the growth of their emissions. And thirdly, we need prompt start financing to take that will help developing countries adapt to the impacts of climate change and change the direction of their economy. We get those three things, Copenhagen is a success.
At best, there'll be political commitments, but they won't be legally binding.
Well, there will be a list of individual targets that rich nations commit to. When we translate that into a treaty 6 months later, I don't see a world leader actually saying that was a mistake. I want to back away from that.
This 6 months later, that is going to be a legally binding commitment that everyone will come back and commit then under law that they will assume what they've said they will.
I think there's a general consensus that the outcome of Copenhagen needs to be turned into a legally binding treaty. People have different deadlines in mind in terms of when that needs to be done. I would say do it in 6 months while it's still hot.
What does 6 months mean to you? That's an awfully elastic concept.
6 months is 6 times 4 weeks. It means by June that basically a treaty needs to be written.
So one measure of success will be, do you have an absolute, these people come back and sign a treaty in June? That would be a pretty big test for success.
Yes, I think that the decisions that are taken at the end of this meeting need to set a deadline for when all of this will be turned into treaties.
Now, even if you achieve, one of the problems is there's a great gap between the science and what people are prepared to commit to here, possibly as big as 5 billion tonnes of CO2 emissions.
There's a gap at the moment, but remember that recently Russia dramatically increased its target, Japan enormously increased its target, Europe has said it has flexibility to do more, so has Australia. So part of the purpose of the 2 weeks here is going to be to have countries negotiate with each other to achieve greater levels.
Now, obviously, for you to get the Americans to come here for the final part of this deal, for this one, is something for success. But on the other hand, it may be that there's going to be a very weak outcome to which Mr. Obama will find he's able to sign.
Well, I didn't get Mr. Obama to come here. He's coming because he wanted to come himself. He said all along that he has the feeling that people are negotiating in good faith, that he wants to show leadership, he wants to come here and be part of the solution, and he's decided to do that.
The problem is he's armed with a very, very weak proposal, which he may not even get through his own Senate.
I don't see it as a weak proposal. Remember that we've had 8 years under the Bush administration when there has not been aggressive climate change policy in the US. They have a very different starting point from Europe. The House and the Senate legislation talks about 20% emission reduction. President Obama has offered 17%. I'm sure he's got something in the back pocket.
The polling in Europe suggests that there's still an enormous number of people who simply do not believe that this is a global warming. Is there a danger that this summit is at some distance from many of the people who are the citizens of the United Nations?
I think there is some risk of that, yes. I think there are still many people who don't feel that they should be paying out of their pocket for an issue which is not 500% proven. The problem with climate change is that you don't have time to let it go wrong and then say, you see, I was right.
You're an incorrigible optimist. You're always optimistic, even about the Americans. But this process has reduced you to tears in the past. Are you confident you'll get through this dry eye?
Well, I'm not always an optimist. I said 3 months ago that I thought this was going horribly in the wrong direction. And since then, we've had a number of very important pledges from countries. So I try to be optimistic, but I'm not a fool.
Thank you very much.